Hello, good day, and welcome. I'm Mr. Steve. It's episode 3 of season 5, and this is the Point 99 podcast. If you are joining me for the very first time today, the Point 99 podcast is a running podcast for all runners, but especially the everyday runners out there like you guys. Our mission is to help everyone along whatever path their journey is taking, whether that's through amazing guests and their stories, shared experiences, or lessons that we've learned through our own journeys, whether that's through making some seriously bad mistakes and hopefully learning from them, well, usually the hard way, but through shared dialogue, we can hopefully help everyone find their best path to success, all the while hopefully having a laugh while we do so. Last week saw a bit of a monster episode go out across two individual releases. First up, we had the unedited conversation with the always wonderful and super friendly Lee Campbell, Control-Alt-Delete. It's been super rewarding seeing the amount of love and positive reaction Lee has been receiving off the back of that one. He's definitely one of life's good guys, so I am just so happy to be able to bring even a small fraction of his story to you all. I can always get him back on to cover a lot of the bits and pieces we missed, which I know he wanted to share. Let me know if that's something that you'd be keen on hearing, and as always, I can make it happen if there's some interest there. The second part of the episode was the catch-up on how my week in running had been, alongside the community roll call and shout-outs, before I padded things out with a little bit of shoe chat on the new Kiprun Carbon shoe from Decathlon, and then we closed things out with the launch of our new giveaway. If you've somehow missed that though, let's quickly run through what you could be in with a chance of winning if you get involved. Once again, I am delighted to have a solo or team entry to this year's Loch Ness 24 that has been generously provided to us by the superb team over at the 24's event organising team, giving us our second year of working together. Supplementing the awesome entry though, we have some amazing items from some wonderful brands. Rattling off the rest of the prize package, the lucky winner could also win a pair of Kylo in the Wild sunglasses. Fingers crossed, we at least get a little bit of sunshine this year. A Point 99 podcast t-shirt from our merchandise partners at Twisted Running. A Voom Nutrition bundle, which is a whole range of different goodies to help you stay energized and hydrated, but also a £25 voucher. And I am personally throwing in a brand new pair of trail running shoes, currently the Innovate Trail Flight G300 Max, but if for any reason the winner's size isn't available, we'll get a suitable alternative arranged. I know I pulled that all together, but it is a pretty swanky package if I say so myself, and one that seems to be going down pretty well with the wider community. We've already had a few entries, but not so many that you wouldn't be in with a good chance of winning it yourself. You never know, the random selection generator gods might be in your favour come the close of entries on the 31st of May. To be in with a chance of winning all of that, all you have to do is like the original giveaway post, tag two friends, enemies, whoever you want in the comments, and then follow all of the five associated accounts. That's the podcast page, the Loch Ness 24 account, Twisted Running, Kylo in the Wild, and Voom Nutrition. Come the close of the competition on the 31st of May, I will be checking to make sure that you have met all the criteria, so don't accidentally miss something. If you have missed one thing, I might just get in contact with you, but if you haven't done most of it, I'm not going to include you. I am going to be a stickler to the rules here. You have to follow all of those steps. But as I say, if you've missed one by accident, I might just drop you a DM so you don't feel let down or left out. Finally, if you want an additional two entries once you've done those three steps and followed the five accounts, if you follow my own account at Mr_Steve_runs, you will bag an additional entry. And then if you also share the post to your stories and, most importantly, tag the podcast page with a mention, if you don't do that, I won't see it, you will also get a second entry there. You don't have to do both. They're not necessary. You can choose not to do them. If you do the first part, like the like, the tag, and the follows, you will get one entry. And then if you do those, you could get another two. So it, it does significantly increase your chances of being successful, but it's up to you. For all terms and conditions, though, you can visit the website page at thepoint99podcast.com/giveaway. That's a 99 in the URL there. So thepoint99podcast, all one, .com/giveaway. Or you can listen back to episode 2.5, where I run through every little detail. Onwards to my week in running for this week, and it's been pretty much same old, as it has been the past few weeks, or at least when I've been out on my own. A number of solo sessions on the cards, with me giving the pace a little bit of spice, a little bit of heat, turn the legs over, and keep the momentum moving forward towards a 5K attempt in the near future. I did, however, have the pleasure of company and a superbly hosted run on Monday. Took a cheeky day off there with the beautiful Lorna Trail to try, and Ian runs and cycles as he was up north visiting friends. Lorna took both myself and Ian on a varied elevation trail run around a hill locally called the Cat's Back. It's a place where I've walked and cycled in the past, but the route was super fun and one I'll definitely be popping my butt back to at some point soon, if not just to grab a few segments off of Lorna, since I stole a crown from not just Lorna, but overall on that run, having been egged on by both Lorna and Ian. It was honestly really nice to have a change in my usual routine and to catch up with the lovely pair, both Lorna and Ian. But also, although that area is very close to where I live, it wouldn't be somewhere I would go on my own, especially a trail run. So it is introducing me to something a little bit different, even if I did choose to run it in my Alpha Flies, much to the worry and annoyance of that pair. But it was a good laugh and generally relaxed. It was also really good just to kind of chill. Life's all go at the moment with work, as it is for everyone, but it's nice to have the time to enjoy the little moments and experiences like that with some truly nice people. Hopefully I can get myself down Ian's way very soon so he can host a session in his own patch and I can find even more areas to explore in the future. With a community focus though, let's have a look at this week's responses to the roll call and appreciation shoutouts. I can't not start with the beautiful Mexican Wonder Woman herself, Tanya Carmona, as she shouts herself out, having smashed the first of her many deserts, to which she says she's surprisingly alive. I think I shared one of her posts about it already, but she is so, so inspirational with what she's trying to achieve and the cause that she's doing it for as well. It's all super amazing stuff. There's certainly a reason we've had Tanya on the show twice. I highly recommend dropping her a follow if you haven't already and checking out her adventure on YouTube, finding out what this whole challenge is about, and maybe tuning into the episode we had with her just last season. We then have our amazing regular Jimmy Bunter, or James Gow, giving some ultra runner loving and appreciation to another of our previous guests, with a massive shout out to Mr. EH3 Miler himself, Chris Evans, for getting the Lake Windermere Ultra done. An amazing achievement given the injury and the journey he's been on of late. Amazing work, mate. Claps all round. That's what Jimmy's saying. At this point, I know Chris would make some light-hearted joke about it all, but truly, mate, I wholeheartedly echo Jimmy on this one. You're a top man doing a top job with the EHC Milers, which you never ask for any praise for doing. So take a big round of applause for fighting back from injury and past DNFs to get that one well and truly smashed. We've got a shout out from Martin James for Phil Gillen, who he says is going to smash Edinburgh in under 2 hours 45. That's the Edinburgh Marathon. Awesome shout out, Martin, and go for gold, Phil. That's some time to have in your sights, but you've got the support and belief there, and I think that's the biggest part about getting it done. On that note, though, if you've got any questions about the EMF, the Edinburgh Marathon Festival, hop on over to the Insta Runners Roundup podcast Instagram page and drop it to those guys as they're doing an Edinburgh Marathon special with Emily Jackson ahead of the event. The lovely Curly Steph has joined us in the shout outs, having finally got to meet Nick Knack Ultra Runs, Nikki Sheridan, previous guest and friend to the show, who she was down at the Polkemmet, I think I'm saying that right, park run on Saturday. Having met Nikki myself, I know that would have definitely been a delight and a highlight for the weekend. Run with Kal-El is Superman fan right there. Mark Cherry had the Water of Leith. I'm not sure if that's parkrun or an event, but is also shouting out any and all Edinburgh runners. Now, we've got a couple of those who listen on a regular basis, so I'm pretty sure that will go down a treat, Mark. Another friend to the show and an all-round beautiful person and soul, TJ, I run for shirts and medals, is shouting me out for being awesome. When I read that originally, that actually put a massive smile on my face, and it is just reading it back here as well, TJ, and maybe a manly tear to the eye. So thank you very much for your kind words. That lazy guy is shouting out, finally managing to run with his dad after years of trying to get him back out again. A big win right there. Well done, John. Hopefully your dad enjoyed it and you have a few more runs planned in the next wee while to get him back out again. Finally, we have the man who's kept me going the past few months in the shows and my own DMs when it comes to the podcast, James McQuillan, a super awesome guy who's shouting out Dada for smashing his 5k PB with a 18 minutes and 10 second time. That is some time indeed, during a meetup which saw James, Dada and our pal Jace Wood heading along to the Edinburgh Park Run. That's pretty much the same route where Jace smashed his very own 5k that AB McCracken shouted out as well just a couple of weeks ago. Obviously the place to go if you want to put in a magic session. Just before we move on, I want to shout out all the faces in the background, like James, who keep the show going. The support I've had, especially when I need it the most, but without asking them to, is pretty special. I've always said that I don't do the show for listener numbers or personal gain, and that is always going to be the case. I don't. It's about sharing people's stories and great brands, that sort of thing. And if one person likes what I'm doing, that's all I need. It does get hard sometimes, but that's to be expected. That's just the pressure I put on myself to deliver. And the people who know who they are always there to lift my spirits when I feel that I might have under-delivered. So thank you for being legends. It doesn't go unnoticed or unappreciated. Sappy Steve away. Let's get to the meat and bones of this week's episode with our guests. The guests I have lined up for you today have certainly been a long time in the making, given that we partnered with the brand well over a year ago when they added to our very first giveaway package that I think majority of it went to Al, who won the giveaway at the time, but also I may have split it down and given some random packages out to just other entries or other entrants. So I can't really remember, but they supported us back then. I'm personally a big fan of these guys and use both of their current products. So I had a great pre and post recording chat with the guys on how I get on with each of their products. But we'll find out about both, as well as some potential additions to their range over the course of our chat. They're helping prevent shoe misery through preventable wear and tear, mainly the big toe holes that you sometimes get, simultaneously extending the life of your footwear to save the planet one foot at a time. I'll let the intro for the chat finish off the rest as we hop over to hear from the awesome dudes behind Trainer Armour themselves, Andy and Martin. I'm joined today by a company whose primary mission is to help people get the maximum life out of their footwear while simultaneously doing their part to help protect the planet through sustainability. These guys are no stranger to the show. having helped us with our first ever giveaway well over a year ago. It certainly has been a chat long in the making, and as an avid user of both their Big Toe and Heel Protector products, I've been looking forward to putting my feet up and finding out more about not only their fantastic products, but about their own backgrounds in sport. So please join me in welcoming the company who are doing their part to punt big toe holes out of the lives of your shoes and help them see their maximum lifespan, the one and only award-winning trainer armor, or at least the faces behind the brand, Martin and Andy. How's it going, guys?
Hi, Steve. That was some introduction.
That's a tame one. That's a short one for me.
Steve,
you both had a great weekend, though.
Yes, great weekend. Thank you. Yes.
Yes, enjoying the weather.
Yes.
It's certainly been a warm one. I was out paddleboarding, so making the most of it. But Martin, you said you were at the football. Andy, you were out doing some car boot sailing, so making the most of it.
Yeah, well, I let the wife do the car boot sailing. I just count the profits at the end.
You've got the right idea.
Oh, living the life.
Lack of profits.
Oh, now, as I say, you've been great for us. You helped us in season one, season two with a giveaway. So we've been having a wee bit of a chat beforehand to kind of relax the nerves and just ease into what I hope will be a really laid back chat. But I'm really keen here to find out not only more about the product or the products as a whole, but as guys behind the brand or the faces behind the brand, a little bit about yourselves. So I don't know if Andy or Martin, if you want, one of you want to kick off and give a little bit of a background of are you runners? Are you cyclists? What's your background with sport generally?
Yeah. Do you want to go first, Ant?
Well, yeah. So I've always been active, and this is kind of where the product came from. So I've always been into sports, generally playing football, but I do run, but I'm more of a, I know, swear word on a podcast. I'm more of a treadmill.
Swear. You're okay.
So
you're
okay. I'm a treadmill runner because playing football, I picked up a knee injury. So the last thing I want to do is run 5K away from home and then think, oh, that really hurts. I need to now run 5K back home again with a sore knee. So I like to do a bit of treadmill running because I can stop whenever the pain starts. It's a bit easier. So my background, besides the sport, this is where the product came in and it all ties in, is product design. But I've always been a frustrated entrepreneur at heart. So I'm always looking for things that need solving or things that I can do to work for myself to do something. I think that's always been the aim. As I said, I was in product design and I was keen to do something with physical activity. I created a business to teach preschool children physical activity through a series of what I called adventure courses. So it was teaching fundamental movement. So everything we do as active people, running, jumping, hopping, skipping, throwing, dodging, catching, all these things. But when we were younger, we just went out and played and did them. But it doesn't seem quite the case anymore now with small children. And the benefit of teaching fundamental movements is that children have a head start. Then if they understand these things and can do them all, then when they start to play other sports like football or rugby or netball or whatever it is, they understand how their body works and can just pick up on the extra bits in those sports. So I created a business called Metal Monkeys, which is M-E-T-T-L-E. So metal as in determination, spirit. And all these adventure courses were themed things like pirates and space and the jungle and stuff like that. And it was teaching balance as well as with all these fundamental movements. So kids enjoyed these adventure courses. But the problem I had, every 3 months, I'd get a hole above my big toe in my trainers, and I'd be throwing away a pair of trainers, thinking, oh, that's another pair gone. And then I thought it was me, a weird big toe that just causes holes in my trainers. So you do a little bit of online research like you do. You pop on Google, why do I get big toe holes? And without knowing any more, you just take the answers that come up. Right. It's because your trainers are need to be half a size bigger. So, right, that's a good idea. Half a size bigger. So you're going to buy a half a size bigger pair of trainers. And then, strangely, the hole appears half a size further down on your trainers than where it was before. Okay, that one doesn't work. So the one that comes up all the time is your toenails are too long. Keep your toenails trimmed. And so I was a fanatic at keeping my toenails as short as they could possibly be. And the hole still appeared. So I was getting a bit frustrated with this. I thought, it can't just be me. So this is where Martin comes into the whole conversation. So our sons go to the same school. So we used to meet up in the playground before picking the kids up from school. And I'd say to him, I've just wasted another pair of trainers, another hole in. And listen, Martin said, well, I get that as well. So then you think, well, maybe it's not just me with a weird big toe. There must be, it sounds like there's other people. And then when you look into it a little bit more, you find out that there are quite a few other people. Actually, at this point, I spoke to my brother, who I've known for quite a few years now, and found out that he suffered with the same problem. I thought, that's strange. Why aren't more people talking about big toe holes in their trainers? So that's what set us up on the path that obviously it's a thing. It's not just me. Surely there must be a solution out there to this problem that can save me God knows how much on new pairs of trainers every time. Well, every time I would have been replacing them. A quick look online, well, not even a quick look, a thorough study online to see what other people do and what's out there. It didn't really turn up any solutions to it. So I thought I can't just keep putting holes in my trainers. I'm a product designer. I'm sure I can come up with a solution to solve this problem. That's basically where the product started to appear from. It was just trying to solve a problem that I knew I had and that other people had. And the good thing is I now knew a few people who suffered with the same problem. So they could test whatever I came up with.
At this point then, do you want to get Martin to step in and before you get too far with the company and almost segue from his background to that chat that would have happened at the playground wall as you wait for the boys or the kids to come out?
Yeah, so kind of like with Andy had got all the business side of background behind him, whereas I worked at Jaguar Land Rover on the track. That was a really strenuous job. And, you know, you was doing 20,000 steps a day. Luckily, because you had to wear steel toe caps, I would never, ever go completely through the shoe, but I would always wreck the material underneath, which made it uncomfortable. Same with the heel area, and you saying earlier about your socks. My socks were always ripped at the back, ripped around the toe area. I did do a bit of running. I'm more a gym goer, so I go and lift weights. Even then, obviously, I always wear fabric trainers, and I would always put holes through the fabric trainers that I'd wear, or I'd wreck the backs of them, the heel area. So that kind of where that fit in. But like I said to you earlier on, before we started recording, I speak to everybody and anybody. So at school, I know everybody just because I talk to everybody. And like Andy said, because our kids were in the same year, that's where we started talking. And then Andy saw the sales side for myself to jump into that role because I could speak to anybody. It kind of fitted that role would be for me. So that's where that kind of came along with us going side by side to run Trainer Armor.
So had you teamed up when you'd come up with the product, Andy, or was it that kind of formative steps between yourselves that?
Yeah, there's a few, the old cliche stars aligned thing, a few things happened that made all this possible. So I spotted Martin's big toe sticking out of his trainers on the playground. Likewise, match made in heaven. We both suffered with the same problem. And so whilst I was developing the product, I thought it'd be great to get people I know who can just test it and give me some feedback before we go anywhere. So it was back in late 2019, I think, where the idea started to gain some traction. So I'd come up with a solution. The big problem we had back in the early days was finding the correct adhesive, because there are lots of strong adhesives out there, but there aren't really many or any that are suitable for use within fabric footwear that are going to. All runners are different. Sweaty feet, washing machines, muddy. The adhesive has got to stand up to a lot. So finding the correct adhesive was the big thing. So needing people to test the product with various adhesives was key at the start. And that's where Martin came in to begin with, and various other people that I'd spoken to that had the problem. And then once we'd settled on this actually works, this stays in, this is the perfect adhesive, the fabric, everything is correct that makes this product work. So what's going to happen now? And then COVID hit. The odd COVID
one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the business I had, Metal Monkeys, teaching children, going into schools to teach children, obviously that completely stopped. And I was at a loose end then. So we had a solution which didn't have any manufacturing behind it, didn't have anything. There wasn't a business there. It was just, here's a solution that works. And now I've got loads of time to think about it. So we stepped up the development. And then I think Martin.
I lost my job, didn't I? I was on the agency at Jaguar Land Rover. I'd been there 5.5 years, and they promised us a contract. And then when, like Andy said, when COVID happened, they got rid of all the core workers and the agency. They put all them on hold, and then they brought the core workers back in, and they managed it on that, and then said, actually, we can probably get rid of the agency guys for now. So we were all made redundant. So that freed up my time then, which obviously, like Andy said, kind of fitted in suit then as well.
Yeah, but as Martin said, he talks to everybody and anybody, but he hasn't got a sales background. But it didn't take much for me to put two and two together and think, actually, I don't really want to do the sales side. My skill set is running a business, not selling to people, but I know somebody who can talk to anybody and has the problem, so understands it. So it worked, it fitted. So Martin came on board. We said, right, we're going to do this. So I sourced manufacturing, and at the time, obviously, with COVID and lockdowns everywhere, and products coming from raw materials coming from anywhere was a real problem, and it wasn't something I wanted to. I wanted to be a problem. So every single part of the Trainer Armour products are sourced within a 30-mile radius of the head office, because I didn't want to be left high and dry waiting for stock to come in from China or Europe or wherever. So everything is sourced locally.
I suppose that gives you that opportunity as well, though. If there's ever an issue with getting the items, you're so close to them that you can go and have a meeting at their offices, or find out what's maybe not working, or if there's a change in any of their products for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's a real benefit, because you can speak face to face with the people who you're dealing with, and I think it's a really important thing within business to be able to do that. And I know that there'll be people who thought, well, you just get it from China, you'll get it half a pence each or something like that. But there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
We are in absolute control of every step of the product now. We're not reliant on a shipping container getting stuck in the Suez Canal and not getting any product for 6 months. And all our customers know that if they place an order, they get their product straight away. It's dispatched same day for retailers, wholesalers, or the general public. And that's an important part of our business, is to making sure we can maintain that.
I guess that certainly then helps as well with your sustainability, because you know what your carbon footprints are, or at least your core carbon footprints of it being within X distance. Did you also look at that from where the products are coming from the other side, or is it purely just from we know who we're getting our fundamental items for to make our product, or do you look at the whole life cycle?
Yeah, I think the sustainability side has been important for us, as well as trying to make the core constituents of the product lower, as you say, lower in the carbon footprint side, the miles that all the materials have traveled to get to us. Mm-hmm. But it's also trying to reduce the number of running shoes or just general footwear that's ending up in landfill. There are lots of studies out there that will say how long that footwear will hang around in landfill before it starts to decompose. So any footwear that you can give a bit more life to, so it doesn't end up in landfill, is a good thing. So couple that with trying to make bits of our product recyclable. So the templates that you use to fit the patches in there, they are made of cardboard, so they can go into the recycling once you've used them. The one big thing we do have an issue with is the cellophane bag that the product comes in. There are alternatives, but technology hasn't moved on enough for them to be
viable yet, are they?
Because we're only a small business, and we could buy cardboard packaging to go with it, but it would mean we'd have to put the price up considerably, and we know that our customers' price is a big issue. We try to keep the product the same price throughout all of these price increases over the last year or so, where everything's gone up in price. We haven't. We've kept it the same price because we know that the more people that use our product, the less trainers go into landfill. So it's a win-win all round.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. There's a few different interests I have out with running and out with my day life. And one of them is cooking. And part of parcel that is you look at takeaway boxes and you look at the plastic coating inside and you think, well, none of that stuff can be recycled. Yeah. And it's the R&D going into seaweed products that are now making cellophane sleeves. But like you say, there's so much work to be done on the R&D on that they're not really viable for saving your end users money in the long run, because you need to invest in a grassroots sort of product, which is going to cost a little bit more while they get set up. You also mentioned at the templates there. I have to say that's one of the best parts, other than saving the toe and the heels of the shoes that you're doing, is the applicator. It's so straightforward that I think even an idiot like me can do it. It's been a really good way of doing that without. Well, I'm gonna come clean here and tell you how I used to protect my toe. Now, I hadn't really been running much earlier than COVID as well. I did a little bit, but I hadn't really done enough to worry about bursting toes or heels or anything. When I got my first couple of pairs of running shoes, my brother, who's a runner, had always said the best thing to do is to stick a bit of, I'm going to mention a brand here, Gorilla Tape at the end of your toe. Yeah.
So when I rang up the running shops, that's what they were recommending people to do. It was either Gorilla Tape, duct tape, or the inner tube puncture repair kits. They were saying that as well. But of course, like you just said, the applicator makes our product, because to get them things in place, you've got to be able to pull the lace apart and get your hand into the position to be able to press that in place.
You're right. 9 times out of 10, you would try put the tape in or whatever you're putting in, and it would get stuck to a different part of your shoe. And they're quite strong tapes. They do the job, but they're not easy to get in. So some of the times I was just thinking, what's the point? I may as well just burst the toe, buy a new pair. And that's maybe not the right mindset to have. So when I found yourselves, and I can't even remember how it was, whether it was on, because I know you're on Amazon now, whether it was through yourselves or whether it was an advert on Instagram, I was delighted. I was over the moon because it was saving me time and effort and stress of trying to protect my toe. Because like we said before recording, I'd been using On Running, and as a brand at the time, the models of shoes were prone to bursting for me, whether that's the material they were using. I've had issues with other brands like Brooks So no, it was great to find you. And like you say, it's you're not asking for a lot of money really at the end of the day. You're saving the end user a massive amount of money, especially when you're talking carbon plated super shoes like I'm wearing now.
Yeah, that's always been the driving force behind the pricing policy. That we know that trainers are expensive, and becoming more so. And if you can extend the life of them with a £7.50 product that's dead easy to use, it should be a no-brainer.
So do you guys still do the manufacturing of the product yourself? Has that been kind of, have you found an arm's length company that can do everything for you? How hands-on are you with the product?
So the way it works, or the way that we designed the business to work, is that all the raw materials come into us so we can quality control what we see, to make sure that the consumer get a good quality product. And from us, the raw materials go out to the rest of our team. So we have a network of part-time workers who then assemble the product as such. So with the big toe hole preventer, they're putting patches onto applicators and bagging the products. So we have a large team that all the raw materials go out to that make all the products for us. And again, they're all local to us. And the raw materials then come back in so they can be quality checked again before they go on to their final destination.
Yep. Please tell me the part-time workers. It's not you guys heading back down to the school wall and you're not getting the kids to do it on their break time.
It's a great art project for people at school, for the kids at school.
Let's jump on then to we mentioned it in the intro. I actually tagged that on once you mentioned it, because I remember seeing it, but it had slipped my memory. But you have won an award for your product. Was that for both the heel protector and the big toe protector, or was that purely for the big toe protector?
So it was just for the big toe hole preventer. So Trail Running Magazine were kind enough to I'm just trying to remember the exact category now. Where's it gone? So Innovation of the Year for 2022. We were recognised in that category as an innovative product, and the company that won it, you may have heard of them, Adidas.
So it's a small company.
They pipped us to the post with the actual overall winner in that category. But we were recognised for an innovative product within that sector. So things like that, though, to be recognised within the industry is amazing for little old trainer arm of with a niche product. So things like that, it's nice to have the recognition. Mm. And especially in a magazine like Trail Runner,
it is. There's some really big brands out there, mm-hmm. and I still can't say that I've seen anything else on the market that's like Trainer Armor. So to know that even the big guys have never, they're either thinking it's not worth their time because they want people to burst their toes, to burst their heels, and to buy a new pair of shoes, or they've just not thought about it, which is a kind of scary thought, given that like yourselves, you did do the time and effort to look and go, this is obviously a problem. It's a problem that's worth solving to save people money in the long run.
It's an interesting conversation. It's one we have quite a lot with various people in various businesses as to why they wouldn't do anything about it. And the research kind of points to why they don't do anything about it. So our research through various podiatry professionals indicates that it's one in five people that suffer with the thing that causes big toe holes. And the thing that causes them is, the posh name is hyperextension of the distal phalanx. In our terms, it's a big toe lifting every time you take a step. So every time you take a step, big toe lifts, rubs against the inside of the fabric. Eventually, after all those miles, all those steps, causes a hole. So as I was saying, it's one in five. So therefore, four in five, in theory, don't suffer with the problem. And hence the reason why the manufacturers probably don't do anything about it, because why would they change their footwear for one in five of their customers when four in five are happy? So that's our thinking behind why they don't do anything about it. Because from a business perspective, why wouldn't you want to make all of your customers happy? But should they compromise the footwear for that one in five? Because there'd have to be some kind of extra reinforcement or something to stop it happening. So that's our reason for thinking that they don't do anything about it, because they must be aware of the problem.
They must be. And but what is their loss is your gain at the end of the day?
Well, our aim, I suppose, tongue in cheek, is to make all the big trainer manufacturers not aware of the problem because of our product.
Fly under the radar.
Talking
about flying under the radar, though, you're actually getting out and about quite a lot now as well. And I think this probably plays into more your strength, Martin, than I would assume yours, Andy, and things like the National Running Show or running shows as a whole. How have they been going?
Oh, yeah, they've been. Yeah, so the running show, we did last year, didn't we? Was that the one this year, the one that's just gone? I mean, we've done the running shows and the outdoor shows. I absolutely love going to them shows. They are hard work and tiring. You're on your feet all day. By the end of it, you know, your balls of your feet are killing and you've got no voice because you just talk for England over and over again. But I love the reaction that we get to see our customers, because that with our products, you know, I work from home, so I can, all the phone calls to retailers and whatnot are all done via the phone. But our actual, you know, direct to consumer customers, that's where we get to see their reactions, their feedback. And I remember the first year we did it, you know, and people walking past and the banners that we had up of the big toe in a trainer. I think it was a black trainer with a white sock, so you could clearly see it. And the amount of people that walked past saying, "Oh my God, that's me." And they come over. And honestly, like the joy on people's faces when they realised, you know, there was now a product to stop that from happening, was just so nice, because like Andy and myself, we felt exactly the same, you know. Now, when I think because we own the business, to us, it's we have the product to hand. So as soon as we buy a new pair of trainers, now we automatically slip it in. We obviously don't have to buy it because we own the company. But just even if we didn't, you know, if I'd have been in the people that come up to us and saw that, I would be exactly the same, because I know it's so frustrating. And you see it from both aspects. You see the person that doesn't suffer with it, and they, you know, "Oh, hi, do you suffer with this problem?" No, if my trainers get like that, I know I've had them too long and I need to buy new trainers. Basically, you know, saying that, you know, well, I don't walk around looking like a tramp if I've got them like that. I've clearly had them too long. But we're like, yeah, but anyone who has this problem will suffer with a hole in a couple of weeks or months or miles. So it's, I mean, Andy will tell you to say, I absolutely love doing the shows. They're, like I said, they are hard work, but seeing the customers. And I mean, the last show we did, we had a lady come up. And she said, and we always do normally like a five, they're normally £7.50, but we do a show special, so we do them for £5. And this woman come over, and I think we had about four or five people at the stand trying to talk to them all and give them the demonstration of a trainer that we've got cut open at the bottom so you can see the product and feel it. And she said, "I'll sell them for you." And she literally stood there and she said, "Oh, I have these in all my trainers." She said, and the guy was asking questions and she was just batting these questions off. And it was just so nice. It's really, really nice and rewarding, and that's why we don't want to charge any more than we need to with the product, because we don't want to, you know, we don't want to do people out of money. We just want them to be able to look after the trainers they've got. But what we find is everybody says now, if I buy a new, and I'm the same, if I buy a new pair of trainers, I will not wear them trainers until we have our patches in place. And it's almost like, an omen. You have to, you buy a pair of trainers, but you, people have them. I mean, they get in touch with us sometimes. We'll have customers come through and say, just wondering when our orders set to arrive, because I've got some new trainers and I need to get the patches in before I go doing a run or wearing them. So yeah, it's really, really satisfying.
You can really hear the passion in your voice there as well, Martin.
Well, I love it, Steve, honestly. I absolutely, ever since Trainerama started, and I'm so grateful that Andy chose me to jump on board with him, but I always say to anyone I speak to, from the moment we started talking about it and I got to be involved in it and try out the product and things, and that's where I'm in my element. When we're at places like that, I mean, Andy's wife normally comes and helps us, George, so we can have a bit of a lunch break. And I remember the first year, I wouldn't leave the stand because I didn't want to miss a customer because I was so excited. But come the evening, because I hadn't eaten, or, you know, we might have a little chocolate bar at the stand, my head was absolutely pounding. But so I learned my lesson. I knew I had to have a break for the next one. But it was so hard because I love talking to people about trainer armor. And that's why it suits him well with me being in sales and speaking to all the retail customers, because that was great as well. You know, that was a great challenge to initially when you were ringing up and we first started out speaking to the retailers. That was the same. You know, they was quite they knew it happened, but it was kind of like, well, you know, we want to sell more trainers or this and that. But you know, nowadays you can, it's an add-on really. You know, if you used to buy some shoes, you'd buy shoe polish, or if you buy trainers now, they do the inboxing, don't they, where you can have it so that mud just slips off it, it makes it waterproof. And ours is kind of that add-on. If you suffer with this problem, you buy trainer armor with your trainers.
One of the great things with the exhibitions, that Martin touched on, speaking to customers, because they will also tell you about other things that holes in different parts of their trainers that they suffer with. And this is where the heel products came from. It was the feedback after the first show saying, oh, well, I get the hole in the big toe, but I also get them in the heel area. Now, I always, right from day one, I knew that the heel area was a problem, but the big toe, it's a very much an aesthetic thing. You do not want a big toe hole in your trainers because everyone can see that.
Yeah.
But the heel holes, once your foot's in your trainers, you can't see it. So I kind of put that to one side, thinking, well, people aren't going to want that product. They want the big toe one because they won't want the holes that everyone else can see. But the heel holes, no one can see them. But the feedback from the first show was quite overwhelming that it's a big problem. It's uncomfortable. And it's not that they want to cover the hole up so other people don't see it. They want to cover the hole up because they don't want the hole in their trainers because it's uncomfortable and it makes and it's ruining the lining. So something to protect it would be great. So that's where the heel product came from feedback from the exhibition. So we looked into what that product needed to be, how big it needed to be, et cetera, so we could tailor it to the demand of the consumer. And then more recently, it's adding the additional colors as well. So we only ever went for black to begin with, because the big toe hole patch, it goes inside your trainers, you're never going to see it. And the heel one, it's, again, it's hidden away inside your trainers, but with trainers with fabrics becoming much thinner, a black patch inside, for example, a white pair of thin mesh trainers, you can clearly see that through.
Yeah.
So we then took the decision to go for white patches as well. So you've got the option now to kind of choose the patch for the color of your trainers.
That's the thing. I was before we started recording, I was going to mention Kipran, the brand by Decathlon. I've bought them recently, and they're marketed as a pocket saving, kind of bank saving super shoe. They're fairly cheap by comparison, but they are using that mesh style substance as well for their toolbox kind of thing. And you would see it if it was black, especially since they're pristine white, or they were pristine white before I took them out. So you would have seen the black marker. So to have a different color is great as well. And I think, Andy, you definitely jumped on there of the direction. I was thinking, with having the interaction with the customers, surely that's spurred a couple of ideas and different directions of using the kind of feedback you're getting to go, actually, this is a problem or that's a problem. And the heel was definitely a problem, to the point where I was getting so much wear and tear to my shoes, I was getting blistering to my heels. Since putting your product in, touch wood, I have to say I haven't had a blister since. Now, that could just be because my feet have hardened to the point that it's not going to happen. But I would like to think that it's a kind of combination of both the wear and tear having been prevented to the shoe, and also just time on feet generally has helped me develop my running style so I don't get it as much.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. And hopefully it is the patches that's stopping the wear of the padding in the heel area.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some other products that we are developing at the moment. Because we've developed a bit of a following from people who are suffering with other whole problems in different parts of the trainers. Maybe it's some of the viewers now might be able to respond to this. So the side of the little toe and the side of the big toe, so the sides of the trainers, people are bursting out through there, and it isn't necessarily they've got wide feet. There's other things. So trail runners, where the trainers flex,
mm-hmm.
it always splits down the side. Not always, depend on the manufacturer, and sometimes the style of the footwear as well. It can split down the side. So we're developing products to reinforce that area to stop the holes developing. So whether the reviewers of the podcast or listeners to the podcast that would agree with that, whether that's something that other runners would have a benefit, would feel a benefit from having a product that did that as well to stop the holes in the sides as well.
No, certainly I would encourage anyone who's listening and has an issue with toes or with heels or with any other part of the shoe is get in contact with the guys, because I've had back and forth with you throughout the time that I've known of the company. I thought you'd been going a little bit longer than you had. So I must have been quite early on in finding Trainer Armor to help my issue, the hyperextension, if the full name you gave it sounds like a rock band to me when you said it as well, or progressive rock band. So if they get in contact with the guys and let them know what issues you're having, because at the end of the day, you're dedicated by the sounds of it to helping prevent loss of shoe at a stage that maybe the shoe's got a lot of life still left in it. And even if the person's wanting to then move on from that shoe, it gives them the ability to then also donate them to an organization or charity that can then pass them on to other people and get them out running as well.
Yeah, there are, you touched on a good point there. There are lots of running shops that will take the old trainers back again and redistribute them to other organizations that can use them. So it's certainly worth asking at the running shop if you buy your trainers from a running shop, to see if they can do some with them. And also there are plenty of shoe banks out there that will accept the footwear as well. The one thing I would say, actually, you touch on the point of how long we've been around. The journey has been incredible, from the first pack we sold in June 2021. I still know the first customer, and it's an amazing feeling to get that first order that someone actually thinks that your product is good enough to buy. So in that first month, we opened up our first trade account with Sutton Runner down near us, south of Birmingham. And they bought a box of 60, and then we sold 15 through our website. And that was an amazing feeling. 75 packs sold in the first month.
Wow.
This is great. And my wife said to me, "You've only got another 3,925 packs to sell, and we'll be all right then, because that's the stock we'd bought to begin with." So we're sitting there with 4,000 packs. Hopefully we're going to sell these. It's not just a flash in the pan. And So nearly three years later now. So we sold 75 packs in the first month. We're selling 12,000 packs a month now.
Wow.
So it's been an incredible, incredible journey to get from the point of how are we going to sell these to people? Who? How do we approach this whole selling thing? It was only partway through, probably must have been 2022, where we decided that we needed to change the structure a little bit, because we couldn't reach everyone we wanted to reach. We were selling to retailers, we were selling through our website. We also started to sell on Amazon. So Amazon's a weird thing as well. It's a necessary evil. Not everyone likes Amazon, but mm-hmm. if you don't sell on Amazon, then there are a lot of people that will only buy on Amazon. So I looked on Amazon when I tried to find a solution. So I thought maybe other people will, but what are they going to put into Amazon to find our product? Because I think I probably put in big toe hole something. So we started to sell on Amazon, and we now sell in the UK on Amazon probably 1,600 packs a month. So there are a lot of people typing in big toe hole something on Amazon to find our product, which is amazing. I was going to say, so we had to change the structure of the business slightly, because we thought we can sell to retailers and we can sell on Amazon, we can sell on our website. But if we really want to get the product out there, we need a distributor. And I'd always thought there isn't really enough margin in the product to be able to give an extra chunk of margin to a distributor. So we had to restructure things slightly with the pricing to be able to reach out to distributors as well. So once we've done that, we've now got distribution in the UK through shoe care and repair sector, through sports and leisure, through podiatry and foot health. And then because that worked, we thought, well, if we've got this model now in the UK, well, there are lots of other English speaking countries. Maybe we can try that. And we'd already touched on other countries through Amazon in Australia, Canada, and America. And then we thought, well, we need to try and find some distributors in these countries as well. And we thought we'd try and be clever trying to find a distributor. So first thing you do, you go onto Google and type in sports and leisure distributor, Australia, go, and nothing comes up. I think, well, how do you find distributors in other countries? Surely it can't be that difficult. So we try to think logically. So we know who our customers are, runners and active people in all these countries. So where would they buy the product? They'll buy from retailers. So I don't know, you want to pick this up, Martin?
So then a case of going on Google and typing in, like Andy just said, running shops, sport shops in all these different countries. And obviously then you've got all the time differences. So I got international phone calls to be able to ring these guys, because a lot of them didn't respond to emails. It was quite difficult. So it was ringing up all these shops and finding out who their distributors are, you know, where do they buy their products from. Once we got that, we then had names of distributors. So because I was able to explain the products to them and do they see the problem, and of course most of them said yes they do, and they would buy our product. When we then went to a distributor and said, we know these guys are your customers, we've got this product, and they're all interested, it was kind of a no-brainer. They were kind of just, well, they were there ready for it because they knew they already had customers. So we would then send out samples to the distributor and pricing and whatnot. And pretty much all of them took it on board. Like Andy said, you know, we're in all of the English speaking countries now. And this all came about last year. This was like Andy said, you know, it was halfway through. Was it last year, Anne, that we
Yeah, so summer 23, we said, right, this is going to be our strategy. So we've conquered. We've got our distribution in the UK. We'll try and get our distribution around the rest of the world in the English speaking countries. So over the next year, we're going to push in this area. And because this strategy, within 2 or 3 months, we'd done everything we were planned to do in the next year. So we just meant we could put our feet up and relax for a little bit. Then.
You just couldn't believe it, could you? Because like Andy said, you know, to start with, we were tackling countries like English speaking, so like Cyprus and places like that. And I think because the countries were so small, and I thought, right, I'm going to change now. So we went for like New Zealand, Australia, Canada, and all three of them on board. And to finish the year off, we got South Africa as well. And then just before the year ended, we got recommended from our Canadian distributor for guys in America that were interested. And we got that over the line. And every moment that we've got, you know, these countries, me and Andy always call them like the pinch me moments, because it's just like, we can't believe we've got another country. And, you know, and then the milestones as well, like Andy said, you know, the amounts that we're selling and turnover and things, you know, it just every moment comes and you think, oh, we could celebrate that. But then something else happens the next month and it's just, yeah. And also as well, touching back on COVID, you know, we got this company and created this company during times where businesses were going bump because, you know, they just couldn't sustain because, you know, people weren't buying and whatnot. And we flourished, you know. I mean, a lot more people. Our biggest customer is obviously runners, and everyone turned to running during COVID. So that helped it massively. But, yeah, every month has just been, yeah, just unreal, really, the way it's gone. And now, like Andy said, you know, we're sitting here now and you lose track of how many countries we're in, you know, Sweden and Denmark and just, and this year, obviously, we're going to be tackling Germany and France as well. So, yeah, the list just keeps growing.
That's pretty awesome to hear. That's massive countries too. And that was going to be, what is the next step? And I suppose it's conquering Europe as a whole. That must then have its own difficulties, even though the majority are going to speak English, because pretty much the whole world is now. You've still got that thing of, do you do translations on the packaging? How do you do the translations? Because there's always going to be different areas have different words for different things. And I'm only talking from experience with Gaelic, because you can go from one town to the next and it's different translations. Is that the next step for Trainer Armor?
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. That is the one element that's been putting us off with trying to conquer Europe. There's so many different languages, and the instructions that come with the product they're done in such a way that it gives you enough information through imagery to be able to use the product. But there are certainly elements of text on there that are important, and you couldn't have multilingual instructions. It needs to be specific, unless you have something that folds out that reams of paper to have every translation on there, or the images are so small that you can't really make them out, because we want them to be as user-friendly as possible. So language-specific instructions seem to be the best way forward. And as you've mentioned, that then gives you the problem of holding stock of every single language, so products in every single language and every single color. The SKUs become quite large, and that's something we need to manage internally to make sure that we can do that. But Germany is the next big market, because it's got a big Amazon presence, it's got a large population, so it would seem to be the next place that we can test out the language theory, that do we get it right? So rather than, right, we're going to do French, German, Spanish, Portuguese, Italian, we're going to do all of them at the same time. Let's just make sure we can get one right and then see how that works from there.
At least with Spanish-speaking countries, there's a lot of them in the world, and to hold a stock of that is going to go a long way.
Yeah. So that was the thing with German. So nobody else really speaks German apart from the German. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
I learned it in school. It's not something I found particularly useful, though.
But it's like Andy said as well, you know, with German language, you know, you can have a couple of words, but they can be so long. So to fit them all on the packaging, that's obviously another challenge as well.
Yeah, yeah. They are a big running country, though. There's a reason, and anyone follows my own account will know that I use certain hashtags to try and get posts out a little bit more. And Laufen is one that I use because it is just such a big country for running. And as you've touched on just generally over the whole conversation, it's not just runners. It can be runners that maybe find you, but then they use you in the rest of their shoes. Because there is a day-to-day issue with anyone that's got big toe or heel issue.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it can be anybody. You know, like I said, you know, steel toe caps. You can't go through the steel, but you can wreck the material on the inside. I mean, we've had people with hiking boots. They've got a Gore-Tex material which keeps them waterproof. And again, you won't go through the hiking boot, but if you wreck that Gore-Tex material, it could potentially then make the shoe not waterproof because water could then leak through that, and the part of material that was meant to protect that is now not. So, we've got so many avenues to go down. The NHS, they all wear Skechers. And, you know, you've got the postal service that do, you know, they're not running, they're just walking. So anybody who's actively walking, we have people with slippers.
I was gonna say, you say that, actively walking, the amount of people have said to us that their UGG boots get big toe holes in.
Yeah,
and will our product work with them?
yeah exactly. And I mean, like I say, you know, I had a neighbor and I was telling him what had been going on, and the guy said, oh yeah, look, and he had slippers on and he had a hole through his slipper, and he's only walking around the house with them. So anybody taking steps, doesn't matter what footwear you're wearing, you can suffer in all footwear.
Right. Before we go too long here as well, I'm thinking of your time of day, because you've given me a nice spell here. If we look to then wrap things up, what are the next steps for Trainer Armor? You've talked about R&D, you've talked about kind of touching base with the end users and your expansion across the globe. How are you looking to take your next steps in just running as a whole and in the whole industry? Is it teaming up with a big event, if at all possible, let's say a marathon or a running festival? What are you guys looking to achieve in say the next 6 months to a year?
Well, I think the one thing for me is the whole subject of big toe holes, because going right back to the start, when I had the problem, I didn't know that it was a problem. I thought it was just me. And it's not the sort of conversation you have when you go down the pub, oh, big toe holes in my trainers again. You just don't talk about it. And I'm not saying we want everyone around the dinner table to be talking about big toe holes, but it's just for more people to be sharing the solution or understanding the problem. So I think just it's a bit more recognition from the whole running community to share not just our product, but other products that are really helping in one way or another. So ours is helping prolong the life of trainers, but there may be other solutions that people want. It's just to get the word out there, because I touched on the 1 in 5. So 1 in 5 of the UK population is about 13 million.
Wow.
Now, if we could help all those 13 million people that potentially suffer with a problem, that would be great. Imagine the number of shoes that wouldn't end up in landfill. If you can get the word out there to the whole of that 13 million, and then you just multiply those figures as a global thing. There are a lot of people that can benefit from this product, and that for me that's where we want to be ending up. More people knowing about us, so Trainer Armor becoming more recognized within not just the running sector, but in the
day-to-day
sports
life, and really, yeah.
just more people. It's a recognizable brand. So you go into your shoe repairer, and they'll have it in there, and so on. That's for me is where we need to be. Just a more recognizable brand rather than little old Trainer Armor from Bromsgrove.
And it goes back to something before We hit record. I'm not going to say the distributor's name, but it would be really good to have your high street brands, high street faces where we're selling running shoes or just selling shoes, having the ability to buy them at the same time, because you know you're going to buy them. And it goes back then to your customers who are waiting, or they've got that DM to you. When might I receive my trainer armor protectors? Because I'm wanting to get out running. If you can buy them at the place you're buying your shoes, win-win.
Yeah, exactly. I think Martin might be able to answer this more accurately than me, but I suspect we are in probably 80% of all the running shops in the UK now. There aren't that many that we're not in, and it'd be great just to be able to like you say, to be able to put them in front of the consumer at point of purchase. So is this something you suffer with? Because if you do, you might want to think about putting these in your running shoes to prolong the life.
Great stuff.
Like you say, we're in up and down the country now. We are saturating, as they say.
And I guess as well, it's going to be more running shows, more expos, just increasing the footfall, passing the booths, and just having that time and opportunity to speak to the end users.
Yeah. Actually, interestingly, at the last running show, we had some of the big brand running shoe manufacturers pointing people over to us when they were buying, which is good to hear.
Oh, great stuff. Well, hopefully that will continue for a long time. They might not want to solve the issue themselves, as you say, because it will change their whole format, but it certainly benefits you. And hopefully the awareness can keep rising, and we can see Trainer Armor go from strength to strength. That's been fantastic having you on today, guys. And like I said, anyone listening, it would be great for you to get in contact with Andy and Martin and just share your experiences of whether you're a product user or whether you've got an issue that you think the guys could maybe look at helping resolve.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Steve. It's been great to just push Trainer Armor out there more, and obviously, like you say, the guys behind it.
That's been great hearing the stories, and hopefully this one goes down well as well. And all being well, we can get you back in the future to find out how things are going.
Yeah. And if anyone would like to get in contact, if they want to email at hello@trainerarmor.com, that will come through to us.
And you're also on Instagram at
Trainer Armor as well. I think if they type in Trainer Armor, they'll find us on there. And we're also on Facebook as well.
Fantastic. Well, I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, guys. And hopefully the football goes well for you, Martin, with the next leg.
Yes, hopefully so. And then we're off to Wembley.
Fingers crossed.
Yes, certainly.
What a great chat with some really friendly guys that was. Andy came in a little bit nervous, but what a fantastic balance they've got between Andy and Martin, who certainly loves a good old chat. Having, I think, found Trainer Armor pretty early on in her infancy, it's great to hear that they are growing and going from strength to strength. I've personally suffered from big toe holes and heel rub in a variety of different shoe brands in the past, but not once I've gotten my hands on the Trainer Armor patches, get them in the shoes, get them on the heels. They do wonders. No more blisters, no more toe holes. They've all been really good since. I would say that my recent foray into Nike has seen less patch inclusion, and so far, touch wood, no holes, but some of the holes I was getting before with some of the brands that I'm not gonna say who they are, they were pretty shocking and did waste a couple of pairs of shoes. If you have any questions or suggestions for the guys, hop over to their Instagram page or their website and get in contact. They're always up for hearing from you all and hearing your suggestions for things that you think they may be able to come up with a product to solve. Right, let's think about wrapping up for this episode.
Thanks as always for downloading or streaming today's episode of the podcast. It really is the best way to support the show. I'd never turn my nose up at a quick share with your friends and family on social media though, but I would love it if you could tag back, especially in the stories, to the show, just so I can show my appreciation for you showing your love and support of the show. I would just like the opportunity to maybe even just DM you and thank you. If you'd like to show your physical support for the podcast, you can purchase a t-shirt from our merchandise partners over at Twisted Running. That's all I'm going to say on that today. You can find a direct link to the Twisted's 99 page on our website, thepoint99podcast.com, or by Googling Twisted Running and looking at the club kind of drop down menu. Dropping them a follow on social media would also be a great thing to do, but if you've entered the competition or the giveaway, you've already done that. The show is available on all major podcast platforms, apart from now Google Podcasts, that's no longer a thing, but you'll be able to find every episode streamable on our website via the inbuilt player on the episodes page dropdown. There are also links direct to every episode on Spotify. Or you can go to YouTube and it'll generate a lovely little graphic in the background. Or you can now go to YouTube Podcasts, which is one and the same sort of thing. It does duplicate the episodes, but you can find every episode on YouTube Podcasts. Finally, we're on both Instagram and Facebook. Just search for the Point 99 Podcast if you'd like to follow what I'm doing on either of those. If you want to get in contact, you can always leave me a DM on either platform or to my own account at Mr_Steve_Runs or the Point 99 podcast page. Leave a comment on any of the posts if you want me to get in contact with you, or you can email me at thepoint99podcast@gmail.com. That's thepoint99podcast, all one, @gmail.com. As always, I can't thank you enough for tuning in today. If you've made it this far, you are a right gorgeous superhuman. And if you did make it this far, maybe comment a cheeky if you know you know, like the hashtag IYKYK in the episode post. I want to see who actually has made it this far. Until the next episode though, one that I am looking forward to recording and sharing with you all, I think I've got myself a fantastic banger of a guest and a story here. Stay safe, enjoy your runs, and you will hear from me soon.